Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. A rainy Monday afternoon. Brian Sexton joined by the head coach, Mike Mularkey. Did you get a lot of work done despite the rain this afternoon?
We did. We missed it. We had a good morning practice, and the guys got off their feet this afternoon with a nice storm to kind of help them sleep. And then we missed the rest. We came out at a good time, and it held off.
I can't imagine they need that much help sleeping because it looks like you've been going hard.
I'm sure they're getting a lot of rest. I mean, I'm giving them enough time. Our practice actually this morning ended at 10:50. It's supposed to end at 11, so they had a good pace going. And then really, they don't have any more meetings until 2:30 in the afternoon. Designed that way to get them off their feet, go back to the hotel, get in their room, and get a couple hours of rest.
What's their schedule now? I mean, you've been off the field about 20 minutes or so. What's the rest of the evening look like for your team?
We've been off about 20 minutes. They have a 7 o'clock special teams meeting, a 7:40 team meeting, and when my meeting concludes, then they will go offense and defense until 9:50 tonight, and then they'll be shuttled back. So it's pretty
intensive.
It's pretty intensive. I mean, we started this morning again at 8:30, so it's long day. That's the way training camp is.
And when you were a player and you'd have an 8:30 practice in training camp, what time did you get here? I mean, these guys don't show up at 8:30 for practice.
They get here around 7 o'clock. Yeah. They got to come in here and get prepped and get taped. And a lot of them do core work now. I mean, there's a lot of pre-practice stretching now that did not exist when I was around. And so a lot of guys want some prep before they go out on the field. And I think it helps them start the practice much faster.
We opened camp last Thursday. It's been 4 or 5 days. Give us an overview of how it's been so far.
Well, I think we started a little slow the first day we were here, Thursday. It was, just a little bit of anxiety and coming back after having all that time off. And we especially the faster of the two practices, we didn't come out of the blocks like I would hope we would. And so we addressed that midway through and said, look, this is not the standards that we are going to set around here, and we're not going to finish the practice the way we started it. It's up to you guys now to finish this thing the right way, the way we left back in June. That's what we want, these next 18 plays, basically. And they responded well. And since that time, I think we've gotten a lot done in the work we've had, especially today, this morning, with the full – we didn't have full pads. We had pads on for the first time, and we got some work done.
All right. Well, busy week, obviously, leading up to the scrimmage on Friday night. So before we continue our conversation, Coach, I know that this is something that you have a lot invested in, a lot of time and interest in making sure that the scrimmage stretch at 6, scrimmage at 7?
Well, really, we're going to start stretching about 6:10.
Okay.
We're going to go through a complete pregame practice just to practice it live prior to. So the specialists, the kickers, will be out at 6:08, and the full team will be out at 6:30, and the scrimmage should start somewhere around 7:05.
And then there's fireworks. They're going to parachute the ball in, something like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of fun things going on. I know they have a lot of activities for the kids leading up to the – I think the gates are open at 5, but I know there's a bunch of activities for the kids. I think obviously the concessions will be open. And then, the one thing they're going to do at the end of the scrimmage, all the players are going to hand out their jerseys. All 90 players will hand out a jersey and autograph it for them once the scrimmage concludes.
Cool deal.
Yeah, it's a very cool deal. I mean, I think it's a neat – I think the way they're doing it, and I hate to say this, but the last word I heard on it was when you come in, it is free.
Yeah.
There'll be some people there that are going to be asking for some donations for the Wolfson's Children's Hospital. If you'd like to donate while you're coming to the scrimmage, it goes to a great cause. You'll get a ticket, though, when you come through the gate, and I think it's going to be like a scratch-off ticket, and it's going to say, yes, you won the jersey, or no, you didn't. And if you did, there's going to be some directions on where to go. So really cool thing. And then fireworks to conclude it.
Yeah, that would be a real fun night, and that's a nice tradition that you're getting started right out of the gate. Scrimmage has been around here. You've just taken it to another level.
Well, we're labeling it the family night scrimmage. We like to get, obviously our fans, but a lot of family out here, and just see if we can build this thing into be a fun atmosphere. I think it will be. And it's going to be the first time these guys are going to actually tackle. It's going to be a live scrimmage for the first half for sure. And And we're going to be smart about how we do it, but it is going to be live, and we'll have some goal line that's live. And
be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
A lot of fun. So come on out, folks. 6 o'clock this Friday night here at Everbank Field. We'll also have the broadcast here on WOKV in Jacksonville. Jeff and I, Cole Pepper, our new sideline reporter, J.P. Shadrick.
No.
No?
No, just on Jaguars.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. On Jaguars.com then. Okay, so it's right here on the website, Jaguars.com, brought to you by Florida Blue.
Well, I knew you knew that. I knew you knew that.
Thanks for correcting me. I appreciate that. We're never above that here on the Mike Mularkey Show. Okay, so let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about practice today. We'll look ahead at the week, and we'll take your questions via Twitter, at JagsVoice, at JAGSVOICE, or Facebook, Joe. How do they do that?
Easy. Just Facebook / Jacksonville Jaguars.
There you go, folks. We're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Brian Sexton with the Jaguars head coach, Mike Mularkey. You can join us, Facebook.com/ Jacksonville Jaguars with your questions. Also at Jags Voice on Twitter. Hey, Coach, I know you've had a busy day. You haven't probably had a chance to see this, but Vito Stellina from the Florida Times-Union sent a little tweet out with some numbers on Blaine this morning, and Pro Football Talk picked it up and interpreted that as Blaine's not having a good camp. My interpretation is he's had a pretty good start to camp. What do you say? How was he this morning?
I would agree with you. I think he has had a good camp. It's been a good start, and we have thrown a lot of information at him. I mean, more than I'm even used to doing where I've come from in Pittsburgh and Atlanta. And I think he is, if anybody has been a consistent player for, you know, our six practices that we have, he's one of them. This morning was not the best of some of the segments we did in our team periods, because we, first time with the pads on, we got to protect better. We got to do some things outside with our route running and our releases better. And again, some of the things that we did this morning are the first time we've done them since last season, because based on the new CBA rules, you can't practice pass blocking. You can't practice bump and run because there's no live contact allowed. So right. This morning was the first time that we got to, you know, offensively that we're actually, backs had to step up and block a blitzer. So it was not as good as you know, we expect. But a lot of that had to do with having guys in Blaine's face. And really wasn't that they were incompletions. He had a lot of scrambles, and we don't want that. He made an error yesterday where, we had Mincy was right in his face. He picked it up and threw a bad ball for an interception, and we made the emphasis to him, hey, a sack is better than an interception. And today he came out there, had a guy in his face instead of throwing the ball, you know, and probably making a huge error because of the pressure. He held on to it and took the sack. And, you know, my emphasis is in anything you do at any position, always eliminate the worst thing that can happen. Even though the next thing may be terrible,
right?
I'd rather be terrible than worse. So take a sack. It's not great, but it's not a turnover. And he paid attention to that from yesterday.
You know, the word on him last year was that he never made the same mistake, you know, twice in a row, that he was a bright kid, that he picked up on those things.
That was evident right there.
Can you do that with a young kid and plays like that, or does that take time and veteran leadership? And you know what I'm saying? I mean, can a young guy learn not to do that right away, or is that just an aggressiveness that comes with young quarterbacks?
I think that's that's somebody that believes he can make plays. And yeah. I don't want to take that away from him.
Sure.
I mean, I was around Matt when Matt Ryan was a rookie, and there's a lot of similarities to when you talk to him about something. First of all, there's a lot of times they already know what they did wrong. They don't need me or Bob Rakowski or Greg Olson to tell them what they did wrong. They already recognize it. They already know not to do it again, and we're just kind of reinforcing how to correct it and improve. But that's – I'm hoping, you know, I haven't been around long enough, and now that we got the pads on, we're going a little faster. Just to see Blaine, see if how he's going to take something, and if there's a mistake, not do it again.
Just an observation. I don't want to say more confident, because I wasn't on the practice field last year. I don't know. But there's certainly an air of confidence about him, and I think that probably comes from having the offseason program, wouldn't you say?
I would say a combination of things. He's started 14 games. He has had an offseason. He's had some really great one-on-one time with Greg Olson and watching film and just – having a chance to sit down and watch film is big. Watch yourself, watch other quarterbacks, how they do things. And, you know, you can just you can tell in the huddle that he's got command of the huddle, because when he steps in there, they're all eyes are on him, and he's very good about the play calling. He doesn't have to have it repeated more than once, and that's unique.
At Jags Voice, if you'd like to join us via Twitter, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. You have a question for the coach?
Yeah, I do. Actually, this is from Daniel, coach, on Facebook. He says, Coach, in your opinion, who would be the leader or leaders right now in the locker room?
Well, I see Rasheen Mathis. He really, especially now that he's able to practice and he's getting back in there, and, you know, it's been tough on him to be being out on the field, and I can tell he's just gradually making his way back. You know, there's quiet leader in Darryl Smith. He does things just with his actions. Same with Greg Jones. I mean, very, very similar styles of guys, very good football players, but just lead by example. I like what Evan Britton's been doing on the practice field. He has an energy about him.
He had a play today where he picked up Austin Lane and put him on his back. I mean, I was amazed.
Well,
he's
a big man. Yeah, no, and they go at it. I mean, it's a physical matchup. Those two, I mean, really, it's pretty physical. So and Eben needs that right now because of being gone for so long. He needs to test his body out and get back into playing shape. I'm just kind of just going through who else. Dwan Landry,
yes.
Definitely. Brad Meester in a quiet way. Guys just kind of follow this guy. He does everything right.
How about Montel Owens on special teams?
Montel is definitely. Yeah. You know, Montel does some things for us offensively as well. He's getting some more reps with the absence of Maurice, and so he's getting some chances. But, yeah, he's definitely a leader, especially when we get to those special teams periods.
All right, you're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show. You can join us at Jags Voice on Twitter, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take this break. Come back with head coach Mike Mularkey after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today or Friday night when you're headed down here for the Jaguars family scrimmage. 6:10, we're told the players will be on the field. There'll be some live action, fireworks, the whole nine yards. Join us, Jaguars.com, for the broadcast as well. Of course, we talked a lot about the quarterback, obviously. And you mentioned the need for the receivers to be... I'll just paraphrase. They needed to play better. They needed to do some things. I read that in a story. I've got a question here from a gentleman who wants to ask about Kevin Elliott, a young receiver who made a play this morning during practice. What do you see from that youngster?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because today in this practice this afternoon, I said to Bob Rakowski, I said, you know, Kevin's got some skills. He just needs to – he's got a little bit of I'm happy that I'm to be here kind of – can't believe I'm in the NFL. Right. He's kind of happy-go-lucky. I think he's got great size. He can run. He's got very strong hands. If he can be around Jerry Sullivan for a while, he's got a chance to be a player. But it's still early, but he has shown some signs of being a player.
All of these guys are going to benefit from being around Jerry Sullivan, I would figure. I know the fans heard him dressing down one of the receivers, I think it was Saturday, one of the practices, about paying attention. The fans even cheered. I mean, Coach Sullivan is very intense when it comes to what he wants.
very passionate about his job, and very important that he gets his message across to him, and he's a great teacher. And again, it's frustrating, and when I think his frustration comes out when it's something has been a mistake has been made, and then the mistake is made again after being corrected. That's when it gets to a point that coaches get frustrated. But I know that's Jerry. But our receivers, again, I talked about it wasn't just about getting better; it was about being consistent. You know, we've done some good things. We just need to be consistently doing these things. That's catching the ball. That's the route running. That's the releases getting off on press coverage. All of that will come as we move forward. And they're working their tail off. I foresee that happening. But we just got to be more consistent.
I know you mentioned LaRon Robinson in that article. How about a couple other guys? How about Cecil Short, second year guy? Jaguars took him from a small school last year. What have you seen from him so far?
Well, he can do some things. He's got quickness. Again, he's a good size receiver. We're working him inside a little bit. We're trying to find out who can be a good slot receiver in especially third down situations.
What's that take, by the way? What are you looking for in a slot receiver?
Well, you got to have a little savvy to you. Know where to you know, if you can understand coverages, where the opening, the void in the coverage is going to be, or if it's man coverage, being a patient runner and getting guys' hips turned and getting them running so you can come out of breaks. There's a lot to it. I mean, you don't have to be fast. I mean, I had Hines Ward in Pittsburgh for, you know, 8 years up there, and, you know, he wasn't overly fast or overly quick. He just knew how to get open.
Right.
And that's Wes Welker, who I had in Miami. You know, Wes was our leading receiver down there. And, again, a lot of that was from being our third slot receiver. Just a savvy about, I understand what's going on before the ball snapped, and the quarterback really trusting that receiver.
And does Cecil show some of the signs of being able to play?
He's flashing it. Again, that's something he needs more reps, and we'll give them to him. But we're really letting everybody. Brian Rabisky's getting some. Mike Thomas has been in there. Mike Brown from Liberty has been in there, has flashed some ability to play the slot. But that's a unique position, because that's your big third down guy, that your go-to guy.
Can't ever really seem to get too far from the quarterback. Here's another question via Twitter, again, at Jags Voice, from Matt Goudreau. Does the offense play to Blaine's strength as a quarterback, or are you molding him to learn your offense?
Oh, I think he plays to our strength. He does. And you know, he's very good. You know, the one thing we do with our play-action game and our run game is we try to make everything look very similar. And he is extremely good at carrying out plays after the handoff. And then those plays, when we do run a play action off of it, he's extremely good with that as well. But, you know, we're in the gun a lot when we throw the ball, which is some of his history, especially when we get in the no huddle. So we're going to play to his strengths, but I think this offense is been very comfortable for him.
You're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. You can join us at Jags Voice, Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. Coach, let's talk a little bit about your offensive line. We mentioned Evan Britton. And obviously he's been tangling with Austin Lane, and that makes both of them better. How about Eugene Monroe on the other side? He struggled with some injuries last year at times, and people wanted to blame him last year when things were breaking down. What have you seen from your franchise left tackle over there?
Well, he really had a great offseason. I mean, we watched his body change from our program here with Tom Maslinski and Josh Hanks. He looks great. I mean, he looks great. Physically, he's a specimen. You know, we just need him to, and he's been consistent, probably our most consistent lineman out there. Never hear his name being called. Very smart player. But, you know, we got to keep him healthy. And, you know, he's got to maintain what he built this offseason. And that's the hard part as a lineman. When you start the wear and tear, you know, you got to just maintain with the weights and all the things we're doing with him. And I think he'll have a great season.
Joe, you got some for us?
Yeah, I got some from Colton. Coach, he wants to know if he's going to see more Greg Jones either running or catching the ball.
Our fullback gets involved, you know, really in short yardage situations, goal line situations. But we do in the passing game. He'll be involved a lot. He's got very good hands. All of our fullbacks actually do.
You've got a couple of fullbacks on the roster this summer.
We do.
More. I mean, people think of the fullback as being a position that's being phased out of the modern game, and yet you've got a couple of guys on the roster, and you're saying they are a part of the offense.
They are. We try to use as many personnel groupings as possible. We're trying to constantly keep defenses off balance, and you'll see a lot of substitutions from us offensively, and that fullback plays a large part in it in our offense.
Now, some teams in recent years have taken a guy like an H-back, and they've moved him into the backfield. And do you do that too, or fullbacks, fullbacks, and tight ends, tight ends?
No, we'll move them back there a little bit. Some of our tight ends will move back there. But there are some play specifics that you don't want to send a tight end up in there on a lead play and take on a Posluszny or somebody like that. They're just not built for it, and they're not made for that. So there's some things that strictly – you want Greg Jones to go through that hole.
There aren't many fullbacks built like that.
No, there's not. He's unbelievable. I mean, it's quite a sight.
It sure is. And it's nice to see it going in front of you and not
I'm glad he's on our team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, folks, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further. As you get your kids ready to go back to school, then your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, more fashion and less price. And we'll have more with the head coach of the Jaguars on the Mike Mularkey Show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. Coach, let's talk a little bit about your defensive backfield. I saw Rasheen out there a little bit today, and you mentioned earlier it's good to see him out on the field. Derek Cox, Aaron Ross. Let's start with Ross because he's getting ready to go to watch his wife run here later this week.
He is. He's leaving on the 3rd to go over there. I think that's a great thing he gets to do that.
I can only imagine the anticipation for him, you know, to get to London and see her run. Because I've seen her promote a lot on NBC there. Yeah. She's a favorite.
Oh, she is. She can really run. No, you can tell he's fired up about it. Not just going to see her, but not being here for 3 days.
Getting out of camp for a few days.
Yeah, because it was funny with him. As we got closer and closer to camp, I started to think, how much time does he think I gave him? Well, he's not going to be in the stands waving a flag like opening ceremony. Did I make myself clear? It was just go see her run.
And then get back on the plane.
And then get back on the airplane. So he'll be gone for a few days. But he's had a good camp. He had a really good off season. He showed up more than anybody.
He's got a presence on the field.
He does. He's got a lot of confidence in his ability. And he can play our scheme very well. And Derek Cox is making some plays. I know today, at least, when the bump and run came in, Derek just absolutely beat up our wide receivers. He's a physical corner over there, which you want. And, Aaron's a physical guy, too. He came up and took on our fullback and won. And so you need corners in our scheme to be able to be physical and tackle.
And you have to have 3 starting corners in the NFL, don't you?
You do with the offenses that are in the league today, with the Green Bay Packers, with all the receivers that they have. You have to have a good nickel in there. And we have a good bunch out there. Rasheen coming back, it was good to see him in there. Good to see him do some of the things he did that he hasn't tested since the injury. So it. Yeah, I think we do.
And you've got a cohesion. You can see it with the 2 safeties now. I mean, everyone knows what Landry did last year. I think Dwight Lowry was overlooked by a lot of folks for the presence that he brought in terms of playmaking. And now you got 5 guys that are communicating. And that
great communication. If there's anything I've recognized from our not just our secondary but our linebackers, there's great communication amongst them. And we got a couple physical safeties. I mean, they'll come up and hit you. And I'll tell you what they've done well as well as it's been disguised with the coverages, where it's putting our receivers or our tight ends or our quarterback who have to read coverages and make their decisions on them. They do a great job of holding it to the very last count with their disguise. And you have to play off of each other to do that, and they do it very well.
Joe, you got something for us?
Yeah, you guys brought up Ross, so I saw this question. I didn't think I'd get a chance to ask it, but Alex wants to know, have you had a chance, Coach, to watch any of the Olympics? And if you do, do you have a favorite sport?
I did not get a chance. I watched a little bit of the opening ceremony, and I really caught the tail end of it, but I have not had a chance to see much of the Olympics. It just doesn't time up with it. Every time it's during training camp. So obviously I like the basketball part of it. The swimming, Phelps kind of brought swimming to a forefront.
Yeah, he sure did. And then he reminded you that no matter what, losing is always an option. I mean, it could happen.
We didn't think
that could happen to him. And
no,
then,
that was
he
shocking.
Reminds you better be on your game all the time.
Yeah, no, I think I love watching them all. I got a chance walking by watching the badminton. I was like, if we could have guys with that kind of hand-eye coordination, I was in shock.
Yeah.
How quick.
Yeah, they can do it. Absolutely, and the archery too. There's a lot of it out there.
But I'm enjoying just hearing the talk amongst the players about it because they're loving it.
And my guess is that we'll see Sonya Ross's run over and over and over and over, especially if she wins the gold.
Oh, I would bet.
That is one.
Yeah.
You'll see it on the board up here for sure. At Jags Voice on Twitter, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Here's one, Coach. He wonders if Paul Posluszny has been as dominant as he looks to the fans during camp, and that's without pads on until today.
He is, and he has been. He's just he's amazing to watch. He does some things I haven't seen a backer do, and I've been around a lot of good backers, especially when we were in Pittsburgh. He has the ability to read some things much faster. He does not get – we're big into deception, and he doesn't fall for a lot of it. But even the hard play action that it looks totally like run, he's already into the coverage and taking away a lot of these routes, and I haven't seen a guy do that.
He's this big guy, great big shoulders and big chest. He does not look fast, but he sure plays fast, doesn't he?
That's because has a lot to do with film study, but he knows the answer before the question, and that's really a big part in this game. If you already know what's going to happen prior to it or have an idea what's going to happen. Your reaction time and ability to adjust is amazing, and that's what he has.
You know, he and Darrell obviously together were a dominant combination last year for a defense that finished number six. And it's been well chronicled about Clint and his struggles with the concussion syndrome. Your confidence level with Russell Allen, and how about the two rookie linebackers behind them? What have you seen from those guys?
Well, let me talk about Russell first. He's really like a fits right in. I mean, he's a smart guy. His experience last year when Clint was down was good for him. Unbelievable worker in the weight room. But I think there's a big trust level, not just from the coaching staff, but his teammates, that he's going to fit right in there and fill in Clint's spot until the concussion syndrome's all set. But we do have a couple of young linebackers that are in here that I think Duff does a great job with those guys. They are so well prepared, sitting in those meetings, that I think we can just fit them in. I'm anxious to see how they're going to do on special teams, because those young guys, that's where they're going to have to make their mark. And we may carry an extra one if he's really special on special teams. If he's a core player, we may carry more linebackers.
At Jags Voice, if you'd like to join us via Twitter, Jacksonville Jag. I'm going to say this 1,000 times before I get it right. Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars if you've got a question, and we will move them through to the head coach here over the next 20 minutes or so of the Mike Mularkey Show. This break and then more with the head coach. You're listening on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton, Joe Fortunato, and the head coach, Mike Mularkey. We were talking about Puz during the break and what a tremendous work ethic he has. I mean, we've seen it, Coach, every day since he's been here, he has been committed. What was your experience with him this spring?
Well, it was great to be around him. He just he does everything the right way. He's a great person. He doesn't say a lot unless he's asked. And then he just, if you can watch him, just watch how he operates in the weight room and on the field. And he's such a professional at everything he does. And I'd like to just say his teammates recognize his work ethic this offseason. All the team voted on the top four, actually the top three at each position, the big guys, the combination guys, the linebackers, tight ends, and then the skill players for who did the best in the weight and the field training. And Puz was the overall winner. And Brad Meester was for the big guys, which was nice to see that he's still 13 years in the league, still knows how to do it the right way. Greg Jones was the combo guy. And then Dwan Landry was voted on for the skill guys. So good group. They all got really cool trophies with their names on it, and there's a plaque up in the weight room now that will...
And a parking spot too, right?
They each got their whatever parking spot they wanted. They have a name tag up there, and I certainly would not park in Greg Jones.
No, I wouldn't either. No way.
But no, they got. It's really neat that they got recognized like that. So that we're going to start that as a tradition as well.
You know, the funny thing about it, the common denominator to all four is that none of them are big talkers. I mean, if you can have an intelligent conversation with them, but they're not going to stand there and blah 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 blah. They're just going to go about their business.
No, and they got recognized for doing that. So that's a neat thing.
Got a question for you, Coach, from Rob. He wants to know, if the defense is playing so well, is it hard for the offense to gain confidence? And does that pose a problem for you ever during practice, that the defense is doing so well and the offense might struggle a little bit?
That's a great question. That is a great question. And we talked about it. You know, we said yesterday we can't get frustrated offensively. Our coaches can't get frustrated because we do have a good defense. They've picked up right where they left off. Mel has done a great job with his staff of getting these guys prepared. And we're practicing against one of the better defenses in the NFL. It's only going to make us better. It's going to only make our players better, our individual players better, going against a better defense like this. And I had a very similar situation in Pittsburgh when I took over the coordinator job there against the Steelers defense. It was, you know, always been it. And we were not very good offensively the years before. And, you know, we kind of just said, hey, we need to start making a statement. You know, it's not just about them. And we started punching back. And I know our guys. I'm very confident this is going to be good for them when this is all said and done, being able to work against our defense.
But as a rule, unless you're going in with a fifth, sixth, seventh-year quarterback, I mean, offense is always about a half a step behind.
Is always behind. I mean, that's just in the history of the game. When in training camp starts or the off season. starts, it's typically behind. It takes a couple weeks to get to the same level because there's much more information. There's many more intricacies going on with the offense than there is with the defense, especially with a defense that's not very complicated like ours. Our guys, you know, we line up and we just play. We invite you to come at us, and we dare you. And I like being around a defense like that just knows you can't run the ball. You know, we're going to stop the run with these seven guys. And they're going to get better, and this is great for us offensively.
Is there a rhythm, a timing issue as well with an offense? I mean, with a young quarterback and some new receivers, does that take some time, or is that on the field in June?
That takes a lot of time. That takes a lot of time. And again, that's a lot, knowing where a guy is going to be before he even gets there. That's understanding coverages and how things are happening and how receivers, if they're winning for you, and who to start to trust and believe that when I call this play and he's, you know, it's his number, you know he's going to be there for you. And that takes a lot of time. And, you know, the negative of not being able to do some of the things with the timing of the passing game, especially in the offseason, especially against bump and run, it's going to take a little while. It's going to be a gradual learning curve for our guys to get up to where we need to be good.
Well, what you were talking about, it's not just about one side of the ball. Come on, let's get in there and throw our punches too. Right after the morning drill, the one-on-one offensive and defensive lineman, I heard someone, I don't know who it was, yeah, all right, offensive line, way to go, you know, from amongst them. It was one of the players.
It becomes very competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's a very good thing. That's what we want to see.
Yeah, it was fun to hear. All right, we've got more to come with head coach Mike Mularkey. And, folks, when you need a truck that works for you, even when you're not working, the 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, a proud sponsor of these Jacksonville Jaguars. And we are back with more with head coach Mike Mularkey on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Coach's Show, the Mike Mularkey Show, here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Brian Sexton along with the head coach, and certainly you can join us as well via Twitter, at Jags Voice, or you can join us on Facebook. It's Facebook.com, and that, of course, is /Jacksonville Jaguars. We haven't even really broached the subject of special teams, other than maybe to mention Josh Scobie's car, and that he better not park it in Greg Jones' spot.
Glad to have him back.
Yeah.
Very glad to have him back. Really, they needed to work, he and Brian Anger, especially with the holds for field goals and extra points.
That's really critical, the timing on just
critical.
Getting the ball spun.
It's so never talked about unless there's something bad happens, but it's some serious mechanics that go on with the snap, the hold, the placement, the guys up front. I mean, it's got to be to the T every single time, and you have to do it thousands of times. So we've missed all that in the offseason, so we're ramping it up right now.
Well, I can remember last year when they got rid of Matt Turk and they brought in the next punter, and you're talking about Loggeman says to me in the broadcast, I mean, right before we're getting started, he goes, got to watch this one today. And I'm thinking, what? You're not going to watch this one today, because Scobie's head, where is Scobie's head? Is he focused on what his guy's doing, or is he focused on his mechanics and kicking? And of course, he did fine, but
yeah, no, there's a lot. There's a lot. I was a holder when I was a player. I mean, I actually held. I'm going to date myself, but I did hold for Jan Stenerud.
Holy cow, that does date you a little bit. 1983.
It was the end of Jan's 26-year career, whatever it was, 25 years. But no, there are such little details, and kickers want it exactly right every single time, and that starts with that snap and the catch and the placement, and so it's good to have them working at it right now.
Yeah, and they work together all day. I mean, while your offense and defense is working for people who don't get out to training camp, they're over on their field, and they're constantly together
all day.
It's a relationship.
It is. It's a big trust. So it's good to have them together.
How about some of the return men? Have you seen anybody that's again, we haven't even seen pads yet, but anybody light you up?
Well, I think, you know, Cecil's got some speed. You know, Mike Brown has done some things. Again, the free agent from Liberty that we signed off of a workout that rookie weekend. He's done some things. He's not overly fast. You know, he's not a burner. He just somehow guys can't touch him off when they're in the drills. Mike Thomas has got some skills. And then today we even worked Chris Brzezinski for kickoff returns. You know, Chris made an unbelievable play today that very few in the league can make. He made a great interception today on a go route, and so he's got that burst, and that's what you need for as a returner.
They're just bringing Chris Brzezinski's name in, which is a name I hadn't even thought about to the point that we started the show, shows you that there is an element, there's some depth, some interesting depth on your football team.
Yeah, we're trying to find – yeah, we do. We have some depth in some spots. Yeah, there's some other areas we're working on. But, no, it's just nice to see him make a play like he did.
Yeah. All right, we've got one more break to take. We'll come back and wrap up the Mike Mularkey Show on a Monday evening, a rainy Monday evening in Jacksonville. Get you set up for Friday night scrimmage. The family scrimmage starts at 6:30. Well, players are out at 6:30. It starts at 7 o'clock here at Everbank Field. Back after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, about 4 minutes left with Coach Mularkey, and as you mentioned earlier, you've got a busy evening the rest of the way.
Busy evening. We have a special team starting in 5 minutes, and then we'll have a team meeting at 7:40, which I put Andre Branch up for a song for the team last night, and he was unprepared, so I gave him 24 hours, so he knows at 7:40 he's singing. He's on stage.
You have him singing some Showtime musical, or he gets to choose?
All I told him was, because he got booed last night when he didn't have a song. I just said, you have 24 hours, and it better be good.
Better be good. So all right, well, we want to hear about that.
That's at 7:40.
And you said the players get done at 9:50. Coach is done at 9:50, or you guys?
No, we'll have a staff meeting at 10 o'clock, and then we go through tomorrow and Wednesday's schedule, meeting schedule, practice schedule, and we'll be done probably about 11 o'clock tonight.
Now, in a normal week, you're building to the game. Are you building towards the scrimmage this week, knowing there's going to be contact there and it's going to be game situations? What's your practice week look like?
Well, right now we're building into situations. Like today was actually Thursday, Friday and Saturday were strictly openers, meaning we really focused on first and second down in all of our emphasis. Today was a third down day, so we had a lot of snaps of working on third down, which is critical in winning games. Tomorrow we're going to introduce red zone. So we're just introducing situational football. We'll get into short yardage, goal line, the two-minute period. That all is going to be done this week, and then you'll get to see a lot of that when we get to the scrimmage on Friday night.
And then you start building towards the Giants a week from Friday night. Again, you're really not building in a preseason, are you?
Right. But there's really not a game plan that you put together. The starters don't play very much, so you don't put a plan together. You're really practicing situational football all the way up until about that third preseason game where you've practiced a real week of game planning.
I'm speaking for myself because I know the players wouldn't agree with this, but, boy, it seems like camp goes by so quickly and all of a sudden you're at a game.
No, it does. It's because you're so busy. Yeah. It's just amazing. I mean, today has just flown by here. So it's going to be, we have the pads. The full pads will be on tomorrow at 8:30. It's really worked out, at least for the first day, the schedule. Players have been practicing at night. We changed it up and put them through the harder practice in the morning and really just a true walkthrough, walk off the ball at 4:30, which we're trying to get him to recover from the morning.
You've lost one player, Reggie Corner.
Yes, lost him, put him on IR. Yes.
How's the overall health of your team?
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good, and we're going to try to keep it that way with the way we're practicing, and hopefully these guys are maintaining what they've – you know, that's important that they maintain what they've built up to this point.
Haven't seen real heat. I mean, not the real intense searing heat. Today was kind of a nice day. Guys staying hydrated?
They're staying hydrated. We are staying on them. You cannot believe how much when they're not thirsty, they've got a drink. So it's just they're getting it. We're all coming from all angles to make sure they're doing the hydration.
And the 8:30 practices are open tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. But really, we're trying to drive everybody to Friday night and the family scrimmage here at the stadium. It should be a great time.
Should be a great time. Again, it's free. There will be some people out there that are looking to help the Wolfson Children's Hospital.
Please make a donation, folks. Yeah.